Joining us in studio right now, Hall of Fame running back for the Buffalo Bills, Thurman Thomas. Giggling about something. I can't even get through the up.
I showed him Lonzo Ball's dad.
Oh, yeah.
And, you know, got to get your thoughts on it, Thurman.
Yeah, so tell the story first, Donald. Lonzo Ball, who, by the way, UCLA is going to be a really fun team to watch. Lonzo Ball is probably the best he's player in the country.
He probably is. He's going to go either one or two
but
in the draft.
But sensibilities were, Donald, were, you know, you were offended by his, what's his father's name, LeVar Ball?
LeVar Ball.
Yeah, you didn't like it.
I have a son. Thurm, you have sons. You have sons.
I have two of them, yeah.
And you raise your kids how you raise your kids. For me, if you want to raise your kids and you want them to believe that they're the best in everything that they do, but you still got to be humble about it. And my biggest thing is now the story is about him. Like, he's the one that's all over ESPN. It's not his kids, you know. So, I don't know. What's your thoughts on
it? I have no thoughts about it, really. I mean, it's just one of those situations, you know, where you kind of just kind of hate for the parent to get involved with it. Mm-hmm. I mean, the kid is what? I mean, you got what, two in high school, one probably getting ready to be a top three, maybe the first pick of the draft coming out. And, you know, there's already enough pressure on the kid already. And then you're just building it up. Just let the kid just go out and play.
Right.
And, you know, and I think, you know, and I hope this doesn't happen. I hope this doesn't backfire because people will shy away from stuff like this when, you know, you got to. Mm-hmm. A parent who was just out there, just, and I know he loves his kids or whatever. I mean, he wants the best for his kid, the best deals. I mean, he's already talking about $1 billion for the for the three kids. I mean,
shoe deals, yeah.
Shoe deals. I mean, there's only two kids. There's only two players right now that are worth that.
Yeah. Right.
Michael Jordan and LeBron James.
One of them hasn't played in 10 years.
Right, and he's still worth whatever. So I, you know what? I leave it alone and just let it play out. Hey. We've seen this situation before, and it worked out beautifully for Serena and Venus.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Remember when their dad came out?
Yeah.
And just, but I think that was kind of a different. He said it and then backed off. Mm-hmm. He backed off and let his daughters just play. And
Thurman,
it turned out
right,
to be great.
Right now, correct me if I'm wrong, but you're kind of in a similar position as a parent. Thurman, your son Thurman III, is a really good baseball player, right? And I'm sure people look at him and project him as a fairly good baseball player down the road. You could be that guy if you wanted to, especially with your profile now. But
yeah. I'm not that guy.
I know
you know
not.
What? It's my son. It's his career.
Right.
You know, I can only guide him so far. You know, he has coaches. He has other players, other teammates. So that's up him for him to decide, you know, how far he wants to take this. If he want to go to the batting cage every single day, I'll be more than happy to take him. Mm-hmm. You know, it's all his decision on how far he want to take his baseball career. College, he wants to go to Vanderbilt. So –
He does.
Yeah, he wants to go to Vanderbilt. So
that's good.
I'm like, well, you got to get your grades. Have to be right.
But Vanderbilt won the national championship like 2 years ago.
Two years ago.
Is that what it got him into Vanderbilt? Or
well, is that, and he loves their uniforms.
Okay.
Yeah.
That's good reason.
he loves their uniforms. So.
You know, like I said, he's made the story about him. And if you remember, he said he would have killed Michael Jordan in the 1-on-1.
Yeah. Okay.
And you look at his stats from – from when he played, he had like two, he averaged 2.2 points a game. He was like 45% free throws.
Where did he play? I don't even.
He played at Cal, I believe.
I don't really keep up with it.
He transferred to a couple of different schools, but he never played, basically.
This is something that has resonated with you, Donald.
Clearly,
this is a father who's trying to make himself relevant.
Yes, he
at
is.
The expense of his
and life. I understand, you know, you're marketing everything for your kids, but you're really making this all about yourself, and it's not about his kids. You look at even look at Steph Curry and his dad. Like, his dad sits back. He's like, listen, this is his career.
His dad was a good player,
and
too.
His dad was a good
Curry
player.
Was a really
good
player.
You know? So it's.
I think he averaged more than 2 points, too.
Yeah.
Exactly.
yeah.
You know, it's crazy.
And the only other one that comes to my mind, and Kobe Bryant, obviously, was one of the all-time greats. His dad was a good basketball player. I remember his dad playing.
Yeah, Jelly Bean.
Yeah, but you never heard much about him once Kobe got going, right?
No, not at all.
All right, so we got that out of the way. Thurman Thomas is in the studio with us. We're welcome. While on the topic of basketball, Thurman, your alma mater, Oklahoma State, is playing a team that I'm quite fond of, the Michigan Wolverines, Friday, 12:15 on Friday. Would you care to make a wager on the outcome of that game? Maybe we shouldn't do it on the air, but can we talk later?
Yeah, we already made
it.
We already made
it. $500 wager.
Oh, you're throwing it out there now. Next, you're going to be talking about my taxes, right?
Exactly. I have your 2005 tax returns right here, Thurman. from some reporter that no one's ever heard of. Thurman Thomas, 2005 tax return.
Boy, this has really turned into something.
But what do you think? You follow Oklahoma State basketball as well?
I followed them this year pretty well. They had a rough start at the beginning of the year, but really turned it on. Didn't get too far in the Big 12 tournament, but I think they're seeded number 10 right now. So going up against Michigan. So, yeah, I think it's I think they're right where they're supposed to be at number 10 seed. And, but I haven't seen Michigan play at all this year, so I don't really know too much about them.
I know a little bit. I watch almost every game.
Oh, yeah. Really?
Well, my buddy coach is there, so Donald's seen me. That's my team. You know, it's the only we work here and everything, but the team that I root for most of the time is Michigan basketball. And right. By the way, Michigan scores a lot of points, as does Oklahoma State. This game could be in the 90s on Friday.
Which is crazy because he went to Syracuse.
Right. Well, my buddy's coaching in Michigan, though. You know,
I understand that.
Get with your buddies, right?
Yeah, I don't really say too much about Syracuse basketball around it. People get upset.
They do.
I learned that 10 years ago.
Yeah.
I said something about Syracuse basketball, and boy, everybody's been at me ever since. So I don't really say too much about it.
People don't forget things, right?
They don't forget at all. Not
especially
at
on
all.
Twitter, like
right.
You had somebody just tell us earlier that four years ago today was the day I signed with the Patriots. Like, come on.
Yeah, that was a big day for Donald and a big day for Bills fans who haven't forgotten that he went to the Patriots.
They don't forget things.
Almost as bad as the day you signed with the Dolphins.
Really? That's just like somebody going from UPS to Federal Express. You know, I mean, you do it because it's your job. It's your livelihood, right?
Right. I agree. I agree. You guys get that, but sometimes fans don't understand.
I can only imagine what Stephon's Twitter mentions were the day he signed with the Patriots.
Oh, man. We've been having a long conversation the day that he signed. Oh, yeah. We've been going back and forth, and yeah, he's been getting hit pretty hard.
I'm sure he has.
He's been getting hit pretty hard. But it's one of those things where, you know, it's just strange how a lot of people didn't think that he was a good football player.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I thought he I wouldn't say that he was great, but I think he was good at the 5 years that he was here. Mm-hmm. Obviously, you know, people look at that a little bit differently, but I wish we could have kept him, but I understand the salary cap situation that we wouldn't be able to afford him. So, happy for him. Obviously, he's going to a great organization with the Patriots, with number 12 right there. So,
right, yeah.
More power to him, you know.
Yeah, I talked to him the day.
I'll be booing him once he gets here and when they play the Patriots. So.
Sure.
I talked to him the day he signed. You know, he was excited about it. He had a daughter the same day
right.
that he signed. And he was like, listen, now I got to go out here and really prove that I'm worth this money.
He named his daughter Giselle.
Really?
That's her name.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Yeah, When I talked to him about it, he said we had this name 2 years ago.
Wow.
Because they thought they were having a girl then, when they had a boy, Sebastian.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
And so they already had the name picked out. It just happened that he signed with them the day of, and his wife had his baby the next day, and
he has no need to suck up to Brady. If he were a receiver, I could see that.
Dude. Right?
Name my daughter after your wife. Throw me the ball. Thurman Thomas in studio with us. You're welcome to join us. Throw me the ball in practice time. 803-0550, toll free 1-888-550-2550. Thurman's in studio with us for a little while today, so we've put the basketball aside. Now we're into free agency. I wonder, Thurman, and you mentioned it with Donald and him going to the Patriots and took us right into Stephon Gilmore. Players make decisions for their own benefit. They should at this time. And it's difficult, I think, for fans, but this is the time of year when players get a chance to do that. You were started in an era when there was no free agency.
Yeah, it wasn't in free agency. And, you know, people, you know, it's a tough situation to be in sometimes. I mean, how many times do you hear players tell them, I'm not taking a hometown discount?
Yeah,
you're not doing that. You don't want to do that. I mean, this is your livelihood, and you want to be able to make as much money, if I heard you say this before, mm-hmm. make as much money as you possibly can for as long as you can. Mm-hmm. And there's the opportunity there where guys will leave, guys will go look at other teams. And I think also you have to look at the salary cap situation too. I mean, it's not really that good here.
Yeah.
And so Stephon and whoever leaves here know that they can't get what they're worth here. They'd be able to get it somewhere else.
Right.
And that's why you see these players leave. And you always heard Doug Whalen say you want to keep your own, but with the salary cap situation, you're not able to do that.
You're not. And in this league, man, you get like one opportunity to make money like that. You know, and it's a short window of time. It's not like you're a brain surgeon, you're going to do this for the rest of your life and make, you know, millions of dollars a year. You get one opportunity to make this money. It can change your life for the rest of your life, you know? So that's why you see guys like, man, I got to get paid. I can get that money there. Plus, he's now going to a team that has won, what, 5 Super Bowls.
Yeah, and don't look like number 12 is slowing down anytime exactly. soon. So they could end up with 6 or 7 mm-hmm. in the next couple of years. But right. I think one of the things that you're looking at right now is that, and it goes back to this Brock Osweiler contract. Mm-hmm. Teams are going to start looking at these quarterbacks now and say, you know what, I'm going to give you this. You're going to have to earn that second contract now.
Right.
I think that the league is kind of turned around and not really giving these players these big-time contracts anymore. How much did Josh Norman get last year? Like 70-something million?
Yeah. Crazy money.
Yeah, just crazy money, you know. I don't think you're going to see a lot of those contracts like that anymore.
And we talked to Mike Jannetty about this last week.
Yeah.
You know, the teams and players now are thinking more on the terms of shorter 2-year deals.
Right.
You know, get your cash up front mm-hmm. and do it again, you know, and prove it. Prove to us that you can play. You're worth this type of money. And that's especially that Brock Osweiler thing is crazy the way that's happening. Like, I don't know. Yeah, they basically like just get them off our books, please. Somebody take them off our books.
Yeah, that was I tell you, that was a Bill Belichick done by O'Brien with the Houston Texans. Mm-hmm.
Thurman Thomas in studio with us, and we've talked a lot about Gilmore leaving. Obviously, Aaron Williams was released. Corey Graham released the other day. We have a call from Fairport, New York. Ronnie in Fairport wants to talk about the Buffalo secondary. Ronnie, go ahead. You're on the air with us.
Hi. I'd like to talk about how they cut Corey Graham. This is his last year in the Bills. And also, why did they fire Rex Ryan? He had a huge penis.
Thanks for calling, Ronnie. They are changing the secondary a lot, Thurman, and it indicates a couple of things. When you get a new coaching staff, they're going to put in their own scheme, and they're probably looking at Aaron Williams and Corey Graham and figuring they might not just fit in to what we want to do. And, of course, Aaron has the neck injury history along with that.
Yeah, it was, you know, it was tough to but I think the Bills were kind of put in a tough situation. I think Aaron probably should have made a decision of what he wanted to do. I know it came out now. He said that he's not done or whatever. But, you know, you're talking about a neck injury. You're talking about maybe probably a totally different scheme here with the Buffalo Bills. If you look at Sean McDermott's defense in Carolina, wasn't a lot of man-to-man, a lot of zone. And you heard Stephon Gilmore talk about it with Josh Norman, you know, being in a system instead of playing man-to-man. So I think with the signings that they've had over the past couple of weeks, I think they're building toward that. I think they're getting guys in here who are veteran guys who have been. I heard you guys talk about it earlier. Hyde, been in the playoffs, mm-hmm. been there with Aaron Rodgers. Saw Aaron Rodgers tweeted out at him, good luck, you deserve it. You know, so you're getting a high-quality football player that can play multiple positions.
Right.
And so you just kind of build on that and see how the system goes and find other players to fit in. And I think that's what you're doing. It doesn't have to be the high-priced guys all the time. It could be some of these guys that are going to just have 2 or 3 year contracts, maybe not worth a lot of money, mm-hmm. but you look at them on film, they're hard workers.
Right.
They come to play every single day. And those are the type of guys that Sean McDermott wants on his football team.
Everybody gets so caught up with the big splash names, and they want to bring in the big names. We got to sign this big name. And it's not about that. You know, it's about getting the guys that, you know, you feel like fit your system or a guy who's versatile. And Sean McDermott has shown that most of the guys that he's bringing in, if not all of the guys, he wants them to be able to play multiple positions and help out in special teams as well. And that's what you get in a guy like Hyde. So I think he can be a good player here in Buffalo.
Hey, Thurman, there's a lot of talk about changing the culture here. Obviously, the Bills need to change after 17 years without a playoff berth. And Donald and I have been talking about it. It's one thing to bring in a coach and a new coaching staff and try to change the culture that way. But when you bring in a Micah Hyde or you re-sign a Lorenzo Alexander, Mike Tolbert, mm-hmm. we talked to the
mm-hmm.
other day,
yep.
you really need those guys, veterans, to buy in, which was admittedly a problem with Rex Ryan in his first year, and then to kind of spread that culture in the locker room among the other players.
Oh, it's going to be a fun locker room, I think. I can tell you right now, it's going to be a fun locker room, especially with Tolbert in the locker room.
Do you know him at all?
No, I haven't. Yeah. But I'm looking forward to meeting them when they get up here for OTAs and off-season workouts and everything. Obviously, you know, from hearing the interview and hearing, you know, some of the dancing moves that he's put on over the years. You know, it's good to have a veteran guy like that. I think this team, you know, this was one of the youngest teams in the National Football League in the past couple of years. And now you're bringing veteran guys who, I mean, he's obviously been to the playoffs, been to the Super Bowl with the Panthers. So, yeah, it's good that he's bringing in these vet guys. And I think they have to be at every position, too.
Yeah.
Defensive lineman, running back, wide receiver. And I'm looking for a veteran wide receiver to come in here. You know, I know everybody's talked about – you talked about Anquan Boldin.
Yeah.
Another veteran receiver. Yeah, I'm really looking forward to see how – the culture will change with bringing these veteran guys in, because these guys that he's bringing in now, these guys have been in the league for a while. They know how to work.
They know how to work.
Yeah.
You know, the biggest thing is, and people say, we all say, like, you know, they've been to the playoffs, they've been to the Super Bowl. I think you got to look at, they also lost the Super Bowl. You know, Coach McDermott lost the Super Bowl. Tolbert lost the Super Bowl. DeMarco lost the Super Bowl. Like, they know the things that went wrong in that big moment, that big stage, you know, and I think that's just as big as guys just making it to the playoffs. The guys that actually lost on the biggest stage, they know what we did wrong, and they can come here and they can now relay that message on to everybody else. Listen, this is what we did wrong that week. This is what we did wrong that day. We don't want that to happen here in Buffalo, so this is how we got to fix that.
It's a call from Brad in Rochester. Hi, Brad. Welcome. You're on the air with us.
Hey, John, Donald, and Thurman. My question is the whole Ryan Gray situation. I know Gillislee's kind of in the same situation as far as they offer him a contract, and they can come back and either match it or beat it or whatnot. If they let Gillislee go, well, I want to find out if you guys think they should match or beat whatever offer he gets. But if they did let Gillislee go, and being that McCoy's getting a little older, he's probably maybe here another year or two, do you think there's any way, if they lost Gillislee, that they would maybe grab Leonard Fournette from LSU in the first round and have a 1-2 punch of him and McCoy? So basically, do you think they'll let Gillislee walk for more money? And do you think they would maybe draft a Fournette at number 10 if they did lose Gillislee?
Well, I think if they lost Gillislee, you know, you'd be looking to a running back in the draft. I don't know if you'd go that early, though.
No.
You know, I mean, you have Shady McCoy, so I don't think you would go that early. Plus, I don't think Leonard Fournette will be at number 10. I think he's going to be gone in the top five, top seven picks.
Yeah, I think he's going to be gone, too. I did read somewhere, I can't remember his name, that they supposed to have a free agent draft coming in from New Orleans.
Travis Cadet.
Right.
Yes.
So I think,
reportedly,
you know,
we don't
know. Yeah, reportedly, we don't know that yet. But I think, you know, they're looking at, hey, there might be a possibility that they might lose Gillislee.
Right.
So, I mean, I like the situation. I like the way they're doing things here right now, you know, taking a chance on another guy, having a guy visit because another guy might leave. So, and I look at Shady. Yeah, Shady's getting old, but, man, he hasn't taken a lot of big hits in his career.
Yeah, He's
smart.
He goes down when he has to.
And,
hold on, let me get down real quick.
Yeah, he's not your normal 28, 29-year-old running back. Yeah. Let's just put it that way. I think he still probably could have a couple more years in him. You know, is that going to fit with the salary cap or what have you and all that things? But, I think Shady, if they keep him on his football team, can have another good 2 or 3 years.
Thurman Thomas in studio with us. You're welcome to phone in your comments, questions, 803-0550. Toll free 1-888-552-550. You can do it on Twitter. Here's a tweet from El Guapo de Bills Mafia. Question for Thurman. You like it? The guy's Twitter handle, El Guapo de Bills Mafia. I don't know what that means.
He's from Cabo or something.
Yeah. Maybe it's somebody you ran into in Cabo. Question for Thurman. This is kind of a broad question. When do you think the Buffalo Bills can stop the playoffs drought? Please provide me with your opinion.
Oh, when?
When. Not if, but when.
When?
When will the playoff drought end?
You know, I've been saying it's probably going to end for the last 10 years, maybe. You know, that's a pretty difficult question to answer. Because you don't, the roster isn't set now. You still have the draft. You still have to sign some free agents. You have to get through training camp. You have to get through the preseason game. So it's really hard to tell and how these players are going to pick up pretty much a new offense and a new defense. And there's still holes to be filled on the entire roster. So I really can't say when the drought was going to end. But I can say I think Sean McDermott and his coaching staff, along with Doug Whaley and all those guys, I think they're doing their best to try to move forward and trying to end this drought. But, you know, it all starts with the players. If they can stay healthy on the football
thing.
That's the biggest thing. If they can stay healthy on the football field, I would love to have Sammy for 16 games.
Yep.
We haven't had that. We have not had that. And I would love to have Sammy play 16 games, have a great number two, a great number three for an entire season. We haven't had that. And so, I think positive about everything every single year. Mm-hmm. So it's going to be difficult.
It's tough.
It'll be tough to end it this year, you're thinking? Yeah. A new coach.
I don't know. You know, you always look at one of those situations where, you know, when Mike Tomlin got to the Pittsburgh Steelers, I mean, they continued to win. Mm-hmm. They kept winning. And you've seen a lot throughout the league where you have had some first-year coaches make the playoffs.
Right.
And you hope that would be the situation here.
You saw it last year in Miami. You know, they made the playoffs. They made the right moves in free agency, and they got the right guys to fit his system, and everybody bought in. And they end up making it, you know, in the back door in the playoffs, but they made it in the playoffs. But that team stayed healthy for the most part.
Right.
You know, they had early in the season, they had real problems at their offensive line. But then they got everybody back, and they went on that run, you know, where they won like 9 or 10 games in a row.
Started against us.
It did, you know. And so you got to look at it. Like, it takes, obviously, the right players. It takes the coaching, the scheme, all of that stuff. But there's some luck involved in this as well, because guys do get hurt. This is football, you know. And this team, unfortunately, over the past at least 10 years, has just every year had string of injuries, like crazy amounts of injuries.
Right.
And if you can keep from having that many injuries, you can make it into the playoffs.
There's another question for Thurman. This one comes from Tom in Buffalo. Hi, Tom. Go ahead. You're on the air.
How you doing? I wanted to ask Thurman if he beat the tire out of Flutie after he threw him that suicide pass.
What pass was that, Tom?
I don't remember the game, but I remember he hung him out there and Flutie, Thurman took a tremendous shot reaching out for a pass.
I seem to recall Flutie threw a couple of those passes.
Thurman might not even remember.
I remember.
Oh, you do remember?
I remember, yeah. I don't really talk too much about it, but, you know.
Now's your chance.
Yeah, nope, not going there, John. Back in the day, I would have been spitting out stuff, but not today. Not today.
I miss the old
and
days.
Plus, I see Flutie every now and then. So
he's all right.
He's all right.
Yeah.
I mean, still shorter than I am, but he's all right. Yeah, I don't go back to those days. I remember the play. It was in Indianapolis, 1998.
Oh, yeah, I know.
Oh, yeah, first play of the game.
Yeah.
Yeah, and sneaking out to the flat, and after we got in and watched, he was like, no, I did not see the corner come off Eric Moles, who was running a fly rod. I did not see the corner come off of Eric.
Was it like a cover two?
Yeah, cover two. Mm-hmm. And threw it high. That's when I got a bruised kidney and a lacerated liver.
I missed
11 games.
I do remember that.
Yeah, I remember it.
And did you talk to Doug Flutie about it?
After watching the film, actually, the offensive coordinator at that time was Joe Pendry.
Okay.
And kind of looked at it, and Pendry looked at Flutie, and Flutie said, I'm sorry. And that was it.
Yeah, that's all you can say.
I'm sorry, you know. I missed 11 games, and that was it.
And you accepted that and went on?
Accepted it and went on.
Okay.
I did.
All right.
I did.
That's cool.
You know, ultimately, you know, he still is the quarterback, right? So if you just go off on him, when you come back, he might set you up again, you know? So you just got to take I'm sorry and live with that.
Yeah.
I wouldn't have took I'm sorry if it happened again. No.
Thurman sticks with us for a few more minutes. You're welcome to come back. The phone line's open at 803-0550 and toll-free 1-888-550-2550. The John Murphy Show presented by Napa Auto Parts on Buffalo Bills Radio.
We're back with more of the John Murphy Show.
Back live at Snowy Orchard Park, One Bills Drive. John Murphy, Donald Jones, presented by Napa Auto Parts. I wonder for those on the TV side if we can get another shot of the scene inside the New Era Field right now so folks can get a look at it. Yeah, we're getting some snow here in Western New York. And
we're able to get
some snow in the control room as well. A little bit. But the scene inside New Era Field, it looks like the snow has stopped. So not bad. A beautiful scene inside the New Era Field
love
today.
To
That's a live shot.
Love to have a playoff game in that.
Right. Look at that.
Man, that is something there, boy. Woo. Snow up against the banks and stuff.
Yeah. Love the way you
visiting team, getting pummeled with snowballs. Man, just rocking.
There you go. I could see that. That motivated you, that shot there, Thurman. That's cool.
It does. Bring back a lot of memories.
Yeah. Thurman Thomas in studio with us. We're taking your phone calls, 803-0550, the number. Hey, Thurman, Donald and I were at the Combine 2 weeks ago, and we sat with our buddy Bill Polian. And Polian, almost right out of the box, whipped this one out on us. He thinks he sees a lot of Marv Levy in Sean McDermott. And Donald said, whoa, there's the headline right there. But that's, I mean, come on. Sean McDermott hasn't coached a game in the NFL, and Bill's comparing him to a Hall of Famer. That got our attention.
Yeah, that got my attention a couple of weeks, too, when he said. I remember him hearing him say about it. But, wow, I mean, that puts you right at the top right there to see how it's going to turn out.
Yeah.
But, you know, I've talked to Coach McDermott a couple of times, and I'm just anxious to see, you know, once the OTAs start and once he gets his roster filled, you know, what type of coaching method is he going to use? I mean, right now we're watching him. I mean, he's a defensive coordinator. Mm-hmm. Now he's the head coach. He has control over everything. That's a different type of understanding of just being a different defensive coordinator. You have to be aware of what's going on. Are you going to let your coaches coach?
Right.
Are you going to be a part of it, the defensive scheme with Leslie Frazier? You know, are you going to be involved with that? I'm sure he is, but, I mean, the head coach takes on a lot of duties. And I'm excited to see, you know, what he's going to do in his first year, how training camp is going to go, how OTA is going to go, because it's an unknown. And it's the unknown of how, you know, he's going to be able to handle all the head coaching duties. But for Bill Polian to say that, that's pretty special right there.
We got a caller here with a similar question. Jacob in Buffalo. Go ahead, Jacob. You're on the air with us.
Hello, John, Don, and Thurman. How are you guys doing?
Great.
Good.
Johnny kind of stole my thunder there a little bit. I was going to ask Thurman if you've seen any comparisons between McDermott and Levy. But
are there comparisons, though? Again, you want to see what Sean does, but is there anything about the initial meetings you had with McDermott that remind you of Marv Levy?
No.
He's low-key?
He's low-key. Yeah, he's low-key. You know, I was kind of doing most of the talking.
Jacob.
But I can tell, though, he's anxious to get to work.
Yeah.
He's anxious to get to work and really get these players in here, get the draft over and get the training camp and OTAs and all that stuff. I'm telling you, he's working really hard.
When did you talk to Sean? Today or a couple weeks ago?
Last week. Last week.
Yeah. You were here last week and you didn't come
I was here last week.
Jacob,
well, you didn't call me.
It's all about Murph. I'm
telling you. It's all about the show.
Me and Flutie. Jacob, do you have another question for Thurman or Donald or me?
I want to apologize to Thurman. Years back, he was being recognized at the Buffalo Sports Awards, and I was a waiter, and I was waiting to get I was working as a waiter at the ceremony, and I was waiting to get his autograph. And after he signed my card, I told him good luck on getting in the Hall of Fame, and I was star shocked. I meant to say congratulations. I knew he was.
I remember that.
Yeah.
Yeah, you don't forget that. Like,
yeah,
wait,
you don't forget that. Wait a minute.
Look.
Oh, I'm not in there.
Oh, sorry about that, Thurman.
That's
okay. I was starshock, you know? I was a kid. But you were probably one of my favorite Bills of all time, and I want to hang up and listen. And, guys, I love the show. Thank you.
Thanks, Jacob.
Thank you.
Here is Todd in North Tonawanda. Todd, go ahead.
Hi, guys. You know, back in 2000, after the season, I think John Butler was a GM, and the Bills had a lot of salary cap issues. And I think it was that year that the Bills cut Bruce, Andre, and Thurman. And my question to Thurman is, you signed with Miami that offseason, and I was always curious if it was an opportunity signing or if there was a little bit of bad blood there for a short period of time.
Did you sign with Miami to – stick it to the Bills?
No doubt.
It's a way to be honest, man. That's what I'm talking about.
No doubt. I mean, well, you know what? You know, I hate to bring up bad memories or whatever, but I will. You know, I just felt that, you know, it wasn't all about the salary cap situations or anything like that. I just felt like I had done enough with the Buffalo Bills in 12 years to not go out that way.
Yeah.
You know, had the Bills called and said, hey, you know, we want you to retire as a Bill, I would have retired. But I was so angry and so upset knowing that that I was released and hadn't talked to anybody in the organization about it.
Right.
And so, yeah, I mean, I had an opportunity to go to Oakland or Seattle, but it was too far away. And Miami called my head coach in college, Pat Jones. He was a tight end coach. And so I knew Pat Jones there, Dave Wants there, knew a lot of guys that were at Oklahoma State.
Mm-hmm.
They were down in Miami. And, you know, my sole purpose for going to Miami was to beat the Bills twice.
Hmm. Now.
That's great.
I mean, that's just the way it was.
How did that turn out?
We're 2-0.
Were you?
Yeah.
All right.
And that was back then, really, before free agency like it is today. Right. When you look at the players today, I mean, there's no player really that's, like, immortal from being released.
Nobody.
Right? Nobody. I mean, even Tom Brady himself. If you try to hang on too long, you will be released.
You will be released. Right. And I think some of the players that you're starting to see that, like, you know, Kyle Williams, mm-hmm. you know, comes to mind with the Buffalo Bills. You know, I mean, he thought about retirement and had a conversation about a month ago with Larry Fitzgerald. He was thinking about retirement because you just don't know. The unknown is there. And so, you don't want to be put in a situation like that. But sometimes it does happen to a lot of the great players in the National Football League. And mm-hmm. they get to the end of their career, you know, they're going to get let go. And that's one of the reasons why before it happened, before I went to Miami, I thought Dan Marino was going to have another year in Miami. Mm. And that year that I signed, he ended up retiring. You know, I have an opportunity to play with Dan Marino. So, but they didn't want him back after a while. Hmm. And I mean, you stay with an organization long enough, the time will come where they're going to release you or you're going to have to retire.
Here's a call from Frank in Buffalo. Frank, go ahead. You're on the air with us. John Murphy, Donald Jones, Thurman Thomas.
Yeah, Thurman, you probably get asked a lot, but I wanted to ask you about the money in the game today. I mean, it wasn't that long ago. We're talking the 90s when you played, and it seems now that money is dwarfing it. And when you think about guys like Talley and other players that have had some hard times, et cetera, I wonder what your thoughts are regarding the money these guys are making in the game now. As far as, do you resent it, or do you feel like you paved the way for that for these guys? And what's your feelings on that?
Well, I think in some way you feel like you paved the way for these guys. I don't resent all these guys. They should make as much money as they possibly could. You know, it was like that before I made it into the National Football League. I played with – my coach was Elijah Pitts from the Green Bay Packers, and he said always after the season he had to go get a job just to take care of his family. So, I mean, you can see it as it – from back in the 40s, 50s, 60s. I mean, obviously with the game being as big as it is, the money is going to grow. I mean, all these players – get as much money as you possibly can. Yeah. I mean, I wasn't even upset that Mario Williams got his contract here with the Bills. I mean, that's just the way it happens. Yeah, I mean, these guys are really out. I mean, they're putting their lives and body on the line, you know. And I wake up this morning and see something about Lance Briggs
mm-hmm.
having a problem with CTE.
Right.
So, I mean, no. Make as much money as you can for as long as you can in the National Football League or at any sport.
Couple of tweets, Thurman, directed at you. Clarence High School football tweets in, Thurman Thomas is the best, honest, and sincere, never afraid to tell it like it is. That's pretty cool.
And yeah, that's pretty cool.
A.L. Plantone tweets in, where did Thurman get that cool cap? You got a shamrock with an American flag on that cap.
That's nice. This in Houston at the Super Bowl.
Oh, and it's autographed by somebody underneath the brim?
No.
Okay.
No.
Okay.
It Live Lucky.
Oh, wow.
Okay.
Yeah. All right. Yeah. Cool. So
that's a cool cap. You got it at the Super Bowl.
I got it at the Super Bowl.
Excellent.
Everything's been positive ever since I've been wearing it.
Donald and I spent a little time last week talking about this. There was a story that came out a week ago. Your former teammate, Steve Christie, kicker, mentioned, you know, it was right after Dan Carpenter was released by the Bills, mentioned that he had offered during the past season to come in and counsel Dan Carpenter and was turned away. He blamed GM Doug Whaley. Look, to my mind, no one – and Jim's around here a lot. Steve Tasker's around here a lot. But no one spends more time watching practice and interacting with current players than you do. You're here a lot during the season, is that fair to say?
Yeah.
What do you think of that, and how would you handle that if you thought a player had might need some advice from you or some counsel from you?
Well, John, you know what? Since I'm really close with a lot of players mm-hmm. and obviously close with a lot of people within the organization, especially if I'm close with a player, you know what? I don't think I need to call Doug Whaley. I don't think I need to call Sean McDermott.
Mm-hmm.
to say, hey, can I speak to this guy?
Yeah.
You know,
you're here.
I'm here, yeah. You know, and if I notice if a guy is struggling or going through some issues or whatever, I'm not afraid to walk up and just talk to him and just kind of get into a conversation about what's going on. Or what, maybe the guy might need that.
Yeah.
You know, a guy might need that. So, I mean, I wish it could have been handled in a different way. Steve Christie, you know, I mean, I wish he probably should have called, got a number for Dan Carpenter and called him or whatever it should have been. Just do it on your own, you know. Don't make it such a big deal, you know. Now everybody's been talking about it, and now everybody's on Doug Whaley's butt about not allowing Steve Christie to come in here or whatever. I mean, it's
isn't it more likely that Carpenter may have said, you know, I'm good. I don't really need to talk to Steve Christie. All due respect, great kicker, but
yeah,
you know, you don't want 100 voices in your head, even if they're former kickers, right?
You don't want 100 voices in your head, and you're a kicker.
Yeah,
right. Yeah. Kicker is like the most.
That's the least that you. Yeah. That's the least of your problems, right there. So, you know what? I think, you know, John, I think as I learned over the years in the National Football League, you just live and learn. You know what? You learn from your mistakes. And now that I've been retired for all these years, you know, I handle things a little bit differently. And I'm not afraid to voice my opinion. I'm not afraid to, you know, pull a player aside. I don't think I have to have the okay from anybody in the organization.
And would you be offended if the player said, I'm okay?
I'd be fine. Yeah. I would say, hey, no problem. If you know, whenever you want to talk or want to talk about it, I'm here. You know I'm here.
For example, you talk to Shady, like, right? I mean,
all the time.
He knows who you are.
Yeah.
He probably says to you, hey, did you ever do this? Or what do you think of that? Or right?
All the time. All the time, you know, throughout the entire season. You know, more than I talked to Shady last year was probably more than anything when he was injured.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I talked to him a lot about, you know, doing things, you know, outside of football and how to take care of yourself. So, the relationship with myself and Shady has been really great over the past couple of years, and it continued to be great probably from here on out. Even if he decides to retire or whatever, we're going to have a relationship for a number of years. So, John, that's just me. I'm always willing to try to help these young guys, knowing that I've been through the situation, knowing that, you know, what it really takes here in Buffalo.
Yeah.
You know, when we got here, like for training camp, okay, guys, we're here for 6 months. Yeah, we're not going anywhere. Even if we have a week off or 3 or 4 days off, we're going to be right here. Right. We're going to go to work every single day. And I think that's the mindset that these players have to think, because when we were here, we were always saying, hey, this isn't California, this isn't Texas, this isn't Florida.
Exactly.
It's Buffalo. We're going to be here. We're going to practice here. We're going to play hard. We're going to work together. We're going to hang out together. It's just us right now.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's the mindset that players have to have when they come to a city like Buffalo.
You got a few minutes. Can you hang with us for a few more minutes?
Oh, yeah, I'm good.
Okay, Thurman's back with us. You can ring us up, 803-0550, or toll-free 1-888-550-2550. The John Murphy Show presented by Napa Auto Parts from One Bills Drive on Buffalo Bills Radio.
We're back with more of the John Murphy Show.
Welcome back to the show, John Murphy with Donald Jones and Thurman Thomas. You haven't been here in 3 weeks or so, and we're laughing about something that happened 3 weeks ago. We're talking about Andre Reed. That's how funny that was 3 weeks later.
3 weeks
still
later.
Laughing about it.
Have you talked to him?
No.
You didn't bring up
the pork rinds? He was in Cabo with me, but I didn't bring it up.
You didn't say anything about
the
pork rinds?
No, I didn't really. I know. It was.
You could at least say, hey, Andre, you got any pork rinds on you?
No.
Yeah, right?
They were in Cabo. I won't go bring it.
Here's a call for a Thurman from Tom in Buffalo. Hello, Tom. You're on the air. Go ahead.
Hey, guys. Hey, Thurman. I remember your first Super Bowl. Me and my buddies, we booked a ski vacation up in Burlington, Vermont, because we never expected you to make it. And you did. So now I'm up in Giant Nation wearing all my Zubaz and Buffalo Bills paraphernalia. And I was an outcast up there. Well, you guys blew the game. Wide right. I know. That's famous. Wide right. Okay? I know. I understand. But everybody told me after that game, coming home on the flight to LaGuardia, that they would rather have our team than their team because they knew you were going to repeat. And you did it 4 years in a row. Now, you were also way ahead of Dallas. And At halftime, Tom, you had the game.
I'm going to do Thurman a favor here and spare him some of the details. Do you have a question for Thurman? He knows. Believe me, you know you lost all four Super Bowls, right?
Did we?
Tom, is there a question here? Or?
I want his take on why they couldn't pull it together and win.
Why not, Tom? For Tom, why couldn't you win just one?
I don't know.
I don't know either.
I don't know. Just bad football at the bad football at the wrong time.
Yeah.
Just bad football at the wrong time. And people are always, well, something must have happened. You know, Marv Levy was a type of coach where, you know, one of the things that we always did well, we practiced really well. We were a good practicing football team. And usually if you practice well, you usually play well. Mm-hmm. But we didn't play well, obviously, in the Super Bowl. But we had great practices leading up to all four Super Bowls, and it just didn't carry over. Breaks didn't go our way. And, you know, at that time, you know, it was the NFC East. I mean, they were a power back then. And we couldn't put four quarters together of really good football. Even though we did in the first Super Bowl against the Giants, you know, we wish we could have had that third quarterback when they held the ball for 9 minutes or whatever. Well, we just couldn't put four good quarters of football together.
I wish we could have kept talking about pork rinds.
Well, you're steady on that, agent.
Talking about pork rinds and losing four straight Super Bowls. It would have been just more fun to go out that way.
It would have.
Are you okay with this weather? You're going home? You got a big four-wheeler? What do you got out there?
Man, I'm going home and do some shoveling.
Are you?
Hopefully my little son has done the shoveling in the walkway. Probably not.
I see you sending a message out
there. Yeah, right? You know, that's what you got to do, right? You've been at home for 2 days,
he's in
right?
The batting cage, though. He's probably in the batting cage.
The batting cage is closed today.
Thurman, as always, we laugh a lot when you're here. We love having you here. Thank you very much.
Appreciate it, John.
We'll get you back in here.
Mm-hmm. Definitely.
Thurman Thomas, the Hall of Fame running back, joining us in studio. Coming up next, we're going to talk some UB football, University at Buffalo. The Bulls were in the house today for their pro day, and head coach Lance Leipold is standing by to joining us in the next segment of the show to talk about that. Donald and I back with that, the John Murphy Show from One Bills Drive on Buffalo Bills Radio.